For prophecy, there has to be a demand. If prophecy, the Bible says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. But we forget the word receive. The word receive, he who receives a prophet, means he who celebrates, who embraces. You see, the prophetic gift can only really be a benefit to somebody if it is celebrated and embraced. The moment it is tolerated, God does not, the recipient will fail to benefit from that. And we have taught on it, and I'm not going to teach on it. It is just a reminder that now in these days we tolerate gifts. We tolerate, if it's somebody that's an apostle or a prophet or this, we tolerate them. That's why prophets, you know, I can be in one house or one church and we can prophesy a lot. And then you get to another church and you can't prophesy one thing simply because the leadership tolerates it or the leadership is against it. So God will not allow that gift to begin to be operating. Are you guys with me? So the Lord spoke to me about a lot of people that are here that I want to minister to you about. But I feel also in somewhere tonight, he's going to deal with some who are under a curse when it comes to witchcraft. We dealt with some things last night, but it's going to come with where things is going to fall off your life. There's many that are watching us. Welcome if you're watching us. I think we have close to 1,400, 1,500 people on right now that is watching us from all over the world. I want to ask you, if you are on YouTube, please immediately click for us the like button. It just helps the algorithm. Click the like button on this broadcast. Follow us on there. And on Facebook, share it, tag it, somebody, so that people can see what is happening. Listen here. To do this in a city like Krugersdorp is not... I'm just talking now. We'll get to preaching just now. Are you guys with me? But to do what we're doing in Krugersdorp, trust me, this thing is not easy. I went to bed last night. And last night we had to break through certain barriers in the spirit here. And people that will never, ever understand. I don't care if they run 100 businesses or they are the highest profession in some. They will never understand until they stand here and take a microphone. Claim to be in an office, or as I said, that I'm in a certain office. You fight the demons that are coming against that office. We have many times spies that will come and sit in the service. And I'm not speaking just of normal, I'm speaking of those who are sent from the occult. And what they will do is, yeah, we don't care. Meaning, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is much stronger than any blood sacrifice they can do. But I can tell you this now, that the resistance that, you know, I went to bed and today I was like, I can't, the whole day, I mean, up until about, let's say 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, I literally had to like open my eyes like this. I couldn't keep my eyes open. And I was like, what is this? You know, and it's, I'm not sick. I'm nothing of that. I'm not sick. And it was just pure exhaustion. And and the Lord said to me, it's because it's a spiritual. I was speaking to some people like Apostle Neville and another person. I said, you know, I said, what is this that I'm experiencing? I said, look, whenever you break new grounds, I said, nobody will understand what spirit you're coming against there. They have destroyed almost every church in the city. The occult, which tells you, where's the power in Christianity? The power of the Holy Ghost, which I'm going to get into tonight. Meaning that if a church can move and operate in power, you see, because when altars is raised, let me say it like this, satanic altars is raised against churches that moves in power to silence them and to eliminate the force of power, which means you need power to fight power. You need altar to fight altar. If our altar in this place, when I say altar, I'm speaking of the platform, the pulpit. If people are not praying, if people are not giving, if people are not consecrated, if this ministry is not anointed and graced by God, it would be taken out. We have seen the murder of so many pastors in this town, this city. It might not be in the public or anything like that. And the very people that have done it have already come and sit here in the church here. We know them. I'll never even say who it is or anything because I don't want to get into that stuff. But let me tell you as Encounter, do not find it strange if a trial or tribulation comes upon you for some strange reason. It is because you are part of a barrier-breaking ministry. We are not here as a seeker-sensitive church. A seeker-sensitive church, a seeker-sensitive church refuses to cast out devils. Alan knows them, Pastor Alan knows them very well. It's his best friends, you know. I was at a Mijan was with me. We were at a place where I went. I just wanted to pray for 3 days or 4 days. I think it was something like that. And I don't like to travel alone. And we were there. And usually people, somebody's cell phone and live stream was on there. And because of our broadcast, people know us everywhere. So you have to be so careful. So people know us everywhere. And they, so when you get there, you know, I get a knock on the door. When I'm on the door, I open it. There's somebody that is on their knee. One time I was on their knees with like a plate full of chocolates. I'm like, what is this? They said, no, we watch this on YouTube, priest, prophet, prophesy, you know. And we are known for that. And it's good. It's what God does. Every hotel, without exception, that I've been to, every single hotel. So getting there and I'm spending my time in prayer and so on. We get up and we're by the restaurant or somewhere up in the reception, and the waiters are like asking for prayer, maybe one or two for prophecy and so on. And in the meantime, there's this leader, worship leader or son of a pastor, I'm not exactly sure, a huge church, a very big church, a very well-known church if I have to mention the name. And they, him and his wife, is getting so out of it, drunk. And the wine bottles are just going up and down as the waiters are carrying it up. Eventually they come up. But now you can see they had too much to drink. Now I know who they are. They know who I am. And they didn't want me to see them. And they kind of like sneaked away. And while the person is walking away, the Lord is speaking to me about that person. And the Lord is saying to me a few, four, five things about him. And I sent Pastor Alan the message. I said, this is what God is saying to me about the person. This is what they're going to accuse him of. This is what's going to happen. This is going to happen at the church, and etc. If he doesn't do this. I said, but you know what? Just because they are seeker sensitive, which means that they are anti the power, anti Christ. They hate the prophetic. Why? Because it challenges you. It exposes. And it did not want to see us, and he could never get that. And I don't care. Me, I don't care. That was just a word I have for them. But that, and but then I'm thinking a bit further. I'm thinking, imagine what a testimony they must be getting sloshed like that. If somebody knew who they were. You know, and they saw us there prophesying and praying for people. And I'm speaking of a mega church, and then the Lord said to me that, you know. And it just became clearer that towards the end days, you're going to have two types of churches. You're going to have a seeker-sensitive church, and you're going to have a power church. A power church is the one where you see devils being cast out in the church. And you have seen it many times here. You will see miracles take place or healings take place. I was so blessed by the testimony of, it was you with cancer being healed, and other, and... And where's the man we prayed for diabetes? I know he was here last night. He's not here, he might not be here tonight. He was here last night and he got healed of diabetes. And I remember when we prayed for him, it felt like nothing was happening. I said, just go home and let's just trust God, you know. But he had so much pain. I think it was me and Pastor Alan that prayed for him. I think so. He was in a lot of pain. And healed. And these are just one or two we're mentioning. We have many with medical records. Yet people still doubt God. Devils being cast out. Jesus says, when I cast out devils by the finger of God, you will know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. What churches is there still the casting out of devils? And they will use every excuse. Let me tell you, you can still fake a prophecy a little bit. You can still fake healing a little bit. But you cannot fake a demon manifesting under the presence of God. And the only people that cannot sit in the service, it's not Satanists, they can maybe sit in the service, is religious spirits. They will come in and they will leave before we even start preaching. Because that religious spirit you cannot cast out. Are you guys with me? Trust me, a Satanist deep inside knows they want to be free. They just can't get free. They don't know there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of control. And this city, why do I speak, is rife with it. It's rife with Satanism. And the Lord said to me that altars is going to come down while we're ministering tonight. The devil is very afraid of what is going on. But go beyond just church attendance and become a part of the movement that is happening here, which is Encounter. Why do we call our church Encounter? Somebody even accused us for calling our church Encounter a minister. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Every person that has ever been used by God in the Bible went through an encounter. You cannot know God without an encounter. You cannot experience His presence without an encounter. It is an encounter with the Holy Ghost. If you do not encounter Him, you will never know what it is. What do I mean by encounter? When He appears to you, or He speaks to your heart, or He breaks your heart. But it requires repentance, a repentant heart. We dealt yesterday with the spirit of Tobiah for a reason. Are you guys with me? I want to get tonight to levels and reasons and dimensions of the anointing. And then we're going to pray for many people. But there's something that is going to happen. But I want you to place a demand on prophecy. Because the Lord said to me that His voice is here tonight. I cannot cause God to speak. I cannot cause Him to speak. We were prophesying over somebody last night. Are they here? It was Joey, I think. And they testified and said afterwards how everything was said was accurate. Now, what I'll do lately, you'll see, I won't have the mic and ask questions simply because of time. In the past, we'll do it. So we'll prophesy and we'll give people time to say whether it's correct and what it is. But it takes a lot of time. So now we'll just like prophesy, but let me tell you, they know everything is spot on like that. If it is of the Spirit of God, if I want to show off, we will always say, okay, what are you know, you have a child that's this age, and da 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 da. But there's a time for that, but we can't always do it. So when we prophesy over you tonight, please understand words of inspiration or even prediction. A testimony that was up tonight, what God uses prophets a lot for. We can prophesy and it will make you think, but this does not sound right. And then before you know it, it happens. Okay. See with you the anointing. I want us to get into this. And I am loaded when it comes to the voice of God for you right now. I can minister, I can prophesy to a lot of people, but I'll get there now. I'm waiting just for hearts just to be right in a certain area. There are individuals that have come for needs. I said even last night, there's a lot of people that have come for needs. By the end of this conference, we pray that every one of those needs will be answered. Don't make time a limitation. I do not operate by time. Some of these great seeker sensitive churches, they have conferences. You sit there, message 28 minutes, and then you're out of the church, and that's supposed to be a conference. And I'm like, what? Where's the move of God? Are you guys with me? Say with you the anointing. So the word anointing, I know many of you know what it means. It means charisma. It means it comes from Christ, Christos, to be anointed, the anointed one, and his anointing, to rub, to smear, to be massaged with oil. I understand we know it, but for what it was used, one of the reasons the anointing was used was to put on the heads of sheep where there would be ticks on them. And the moment that they would put, and they would call it, they would anoint the sheep with oil. And then the ticks will not be able to grab onto them. And the oil would irritate the ticks. And it would fall off. Which means that there are two reasons. Well, let me say it like this. So they would use the oil for that and the ticks would fall off. Another way they would use the oil for it is they would constantly, there's a certain sheep or lamb that they would prepare for an offering that has to be without blemish. It has to be of a certain quality if it was used for a sin offering. Are you guys with me? And I'm not going to go through exactly how they did a sin offering, how the priest would take his head against the head of the... I'm not going to go through that. But animal would grow up and they would constantly put oil on him that ticks would go off, so that ticks would not be on this animal that will have to go be used for sin offering. So you would see how, and they would call that sheep really in English terms a special sheep, a sheep to be set apart for use as a sacrifice for the sins of the people, as Jesus was the Lamb of God, was set apart, consecrated for the sins of those of us who are here and everyone out there who accepts him. And so we see the oil has two purposes. And number one, it makes things, let me say it like this rather before I get that. You know, last night we had to break through a certain wall in the spirit. Some might have felt it, some might not have felt it. Sometimes you have to force people to eat. I will force you to eat tonight. You might cry or not like it, but I have to force this message into you. When you have a child, a baby, they don't want to eat all the time. You have to open their mouth and put the food into their mouth and even sometimes cause them to swallow it. Are you guys with me? So you have to force somebody. In the church the same way, you have to force somebody to eat, otherwise they cannot get the word in. The word is what brings the change in someone's life. Maybe you're sitting and you're saying, but how can these people be so wild or this or that? They have the word in them and there's a person that has set them free. You see, nobody can challenge you on your testimony. They can say encounter is a cult, but they cannot question the results. And where does the word cult comes from? Culture. Or where does culture come from? From the word cult. Okay, so let's not really get into that. Because if you really get into what is cult, actually the root word of it is connected to Christianity even. So I'm not saying we are a cult. I'm just saying for those that the only thing they can do is just spew out and like, there's a prophet there. That must be a cult. If I was a pastor, we would have had no persecution, but you'll see now why persecution comes. Count it special, says the Lord. The Bible says, count it a privilege to be persecuted for my name's sake. Oh, when people persecute you for the name of Christ, there's no greater privilege on the earth than to be persecuted for his name's sake. His disciples wanted to die like he died, because it was a privilege. In fact, it became fashion in those days to die and become a martyr. That Paul actually had to address them in 1 Corinthians 13, and he said, even those who give themselves their own bodies but do not have love does it in vain. He said, listen here, some of you are getting killed because it's become the fashion of the day. I pray that persecution and the desire to be persecuted will become the fashion of the day again, so that people can get passionately on fire. Without persecution, you are not a verified Christian. I'm going to say it again. Without persecution, you are not yet a verified Christian. The Bible says this. Go with me. Put for me on. I think it is Psalm 34. Put on for me Psalm 34, 19, 18. Let me try 18. 19. Many, say this with me, say many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Does it say little are the afflictions? It says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but, say with me, but, the Lord delivers him out of them all. For the Bible says, if you are in the kingdom of God, you must suffer persecution. You must suffer persecution. What will the anointing do? It'll attract good things to you, but it'll also attract problems to you. It is the inauguration of somebody in the midst of others. If there's one prayer that I can pray, is that the anointing or God will choose to anoint those who are in the church, who are in encounter. Once he's anointing, I'm not speaking about just a corporate anointing. I'm speaking about the touch, the hand of God on your life. And it can happen with each one. It is no longer by election, as we suppose it, as it was in the old covenant. Jesus made a way into the Holy of Holies. The veil has been torn, which means every single one of us has a way into the Holy of Holies. We no longer need a high priest, because he has become our high priest, our mediator. And by the blood, we can enter into the throne room of grace with boldness. The anointing. So number one reason of the anointing is, or what it does, or what it was used for, the reason of the anointing. Say with me, to make things fall down. Which means that when you are anointed as a believer, every devil that tries to attach, or poverty that tries to attach, or a curse that tries to hold you down that was in your family for how long, once the anointing is on you, it irritates that problem and it irritates that difficulty and it begins to fall down. I prophesy that things will fall down that is not supposed to be attached to your life, that it will fall down. Are you guys with me? That every demonic spirit, listen, it is one thing to come for deliverance, but when the anointing is on you, that devil will get so irritated, eventually it'll have to leave. Don't be somebody that always just needs deliverance, deliverance. No. Once you get delivered, receive your deliverance. I know what it is to need deliverance. I did deliverance on myself. Nobody could do deliverance on me. Nobody could do deliverance on me. In the time when I got saved, 19 years ago, out of a drug den, nobody, the pastor I was in the church with, he has a huge church now, maybe like 15,000 people. Some of you might know. And that time he had about 3,000. I built his church. I remember spraying the roofs like a 3,000-seater building. And I was up on the scaffolding. I was spraying that roof. That's why there's nothing that I haven't done, okay? And I'm spraying that roof for weeks long, because there was no such thing as they paid the company. No, it was us as cheap labor that had to do everything. And I'm spraying that roof. And you come, you literally from the morning to the night. And when you're done, a 3,000 seater, and you have a small compressor, just one, and you spray the thing. And then obviously it goes empty. You have to climb down, fill it up, go up, spray again. By the end, your whole body, your face and your head is black by the end of the day. And then I have to sleep there. And I did that night of. So that roof took about close to a month to finish. It was a huge building. While I was praying, I remember I had so many visions. I saw me one day and I saw us praying our own roof like that. Not knowing that we have now three churches where the roofs are sprayed like that. But I had those visions back then. Then I fell off the scaffolding and I almost broke my foot. And I remember him coming in and they didn't like me. I think, I don't know if I had deemed, they just didn't like me. And I remember him just walking past, he didn't want to say hello. And I overheard him saying to somebody, just get him out here because we're going to get into trouble if he's going to go legal or something like that. I'm like, so then I had to go to the hospital, but I fell off the scaffold. It was a high, so 3,000 seater. It was about a 3 to 4 story high roof. So the scaffolding was that high. No security ropes of those days or anything. You're just up there and doing your thing. And he said that, when I left there, I remember the church said, they called me in and they said that I'm not allowed to listen to anybody that has an anointing. Benny Hinn, I'm not allowed to listen to him. Rodney R. Brown, I'm not allowed to listen to him. Kenneth Hagin, I'm not allowed to listen to him. Seeker sensitive. But I remember there I need the deliverance. And the man said to me, I cannot do deliverance. I was like, what? And he told us the story. And he said that when he was young, and let me not get into the details because it'll be too personal online, on live stream. But they were basically afraid to do deliverance. Yet a senior pastor of a huge church. And I have still great respect for the man. All that is honor ministers and they're doing incredible work. It's just not power. And then the problem is they persecute us who have power. Power will always be persecuted because the devil will do anything to discourage you from the move of power. And what is so sad, churches that moved in power once at a time get very big. And then maybe it goes over to the sun and then all of a sudden the power of God begins to leave. There's no more anointing, there's no more power. Are you guys with me? So the anointing makes the ticks fall off. It makes things fall off in your life. Number two, it sets you apart for a special mission and a mandate to be used by God. Once the anointing comes on you, it doesn't come on you for no reason. It comes on your life because God has a mandate for you. If the anointing rests on you, if your family begins to tell you, but you look different, you sound different, you walk different, or there's a spring in your step, or your chin is up now when you walk, or they'll say like Joseph, but what arrogance are you coming here with? You dreamer, you master of dreams. Why are you walking that way? Why? Joseph was seeing himself in the future. When David was anointed, he came to his brothers in the war, but in the battle they had with Goliath. And his brother said to him, what is this pride in your heart? It was no pride. It was the boldness and confidence of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The anointing will never give you a false humility. It'll give you boldness that is mistaken for arrogance. It'll give you confidence that is mistaken for arrogance. Get anointed. Are you guys with me? So listen. So there are three levels to the anointing. Three levels to the anointing. The first level is, and yes, I'll get to scripture just now, so don't worry for those that might be some heretic hunters that have come into the building or that are watching, as they always do. The first level of the anointing are those who are anointed but still have demons. And an example of this is King Saul. He had the anointing on his life, but yet he needed David to play the harp and for the demons to leave and then the demons would come back. So you can have somebody that has the anointing but still have demons. The anointing does not eliminate you or disqualify you from having demons. That is why deliverance is so important. And we take people through deliverance. And please sign up for our demonology course. Because not so that you only can receive deliverance, but you can know how to do deliverance to others. Because we're going to have a very big deliverance conference coming up, probably the last half of the year, second half of the year, very big deliverance conference. And we're going to take people through a series of deliverance. Even beforehand, they're going to be screened. We're going to take them through stuff so that when we do deliverance to them, it'll be successful. And there are few churches that does deliverance. So the second level of the anointing is to be anointed but with no power. Anointed but with no power. An example of this is where you would see that Jesus and Barabbas was in prison at the same time. And then they said to the crowd, who do you choose to release, Barabbas or Jesus? And the crowds shouted, Barabbas. Are you guys with me? I want you to see this. Jesus is the Son of God. He was anointed with power. So the third level of the anointing is to be anointed with power. Remember the second one, anointed without power. So he says, they said, give us Barabbas to be set free. The name Jesus, we know Jesus is the Son of God. Barabbas, the name means Bar Abbas. Abbas is father. Bar is son. For example, Peter is Simon Bar Jonah. Simon, son of Jonah. Bar, son. So Bar Abbas, son of father, son of God. So you see how Jesus was the Son of God. Barabbas claimed himself to be, or thought of himself to be, a son of God. Barabbas was not a murderer. We think he was a murderer. The Bible says he was just, there was a case against him for murder. The same case of crime against Jesus was against him. It doesn't mean he was guilty for it. Are you guys with me? It was just, there was a case against him for that. So you see somebody, and the fact that he was the son, his name means Son of God, means that there was an anointing on Barabbas. Jesus, Son of God, there was anointing on him. He was the anointed one. But you have Jesus, who is the Son of God. He has the anointing with power. And you have Barabbas, that is the Son of God, not in Jesus' place, but I'm just using the name, but is the anointing without power. And the people said, let Barabbas free. And they said, let's kill Jesus. When people see power, they would want to kill you. And God will allow it to happen. Because he knows when you kill somebody that has power, they will be raised back to life again. He knew that when Jesus was going to be killed, he will have the power to be raised back to life again. When it feels like you're going through death, or you're going through trials and tribulations, it is because God has confidence that there's power in your life, that you'll be raised back up again. It doesn't matter what situation you're going through, you will rise again. Are you guys with me? They can try to kill me. I'm speaking spiritually. They can put us on a national TV show, which they did. They can put us here or do this or do that. But God allows it to happen. Because we are not a church without power. Once the power is there, he knows we'll rise again, stronger than before. glorified than before. When they persecute you, they are only giving you a favor and doing you a favor to cause you to rise higher and higher and higher. But when you are anointed with no power, oh my goodness, then if they kill you, you stay dead. That is why God will allow somebody who doesn't have power not to be attacked. Because he knows if they get attacked, they're not going to be able to rise again. I'm preaching prophetically to you. Is that okay? Seeker-sensitive churches will just, you know what, we have preached in them. The one time I did, it was the biggest mistake in my life. You preach like this, they just said, their spirits can't handle revelation. The fact that you jump up tells me your spirit is alive. It tells me that there's something spiritual about you. That your spirit has the capacity to receive revelation. Are you guys with me? I would preach this in a secret sense. I promise you, it will go over their heads. Pastor Stephen, you know what I talk about. You know, I mean, it's like, I mean, you've been to so many churches. Yeah, you can be in one church and preach. You would think, are these people even saved? Yet, it's thousands. And the church is big. So you will rise. So when trouble comes to you, it is because God has confidence that you will rise above it again. He has confidence that even though they kill you, you will rise above it. And pastor who has an anointing without power, God doesn't allow them to be attacked, because he knows if they get attacked, the church is gone. I remember when the TV show came out, we were like stressing because it was our first TV show of a national attack, okay? And I was like, we were waiting for this thing, and it comes, and we're sitting with our staff, and we watched it, and I thought, that's it. There the church goes. And then God said to me that night, as we were watching the show, we were on a staff retreat, and he said, Leon, the media never made you, so the media will never break you. First of all, and we were watching the show, and even the people on the show began to manifest devils on the show. They embarrassed themselves. The one lady says, eventually, like, what is your problem with Prophet Leon? Why don't you like him? Like, out of genuineness, like, ask the question, why do you not like him? And that devil just manifested. I need a voice also. Not only Leon can have a voice. God has chosen to give us a voice, and he has chosen not to give you a voice. Speak to your employer. So but we thought it's going to be over there, but the anointing with power. I want you to walk out of this conference. I haven't even started yet. I know it is late, but just relax. I want you to walk out of this conference with the anointing with power. That can change circumstances, that can cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, change, promote businesses, open businesses, bring in money from the Gentiles to the righteous. Be a people that is free. That, listen here, this is how a move in Krugersdorp will start. Do you know how confused people are with what we are just getting right here in the city? They are confused. Have you seen it? I heard yesterday when we were prophesying in a church and we were getting things accurate, right? One after the other, after the other. A dear friend of mine. And I heard that apparently they said to their leadership office, Leon is faking it. Just because you can't do it doesn't mean it is fake. They called Jesus. They said he cast out devils by the power of Beelzebub. because they couldn't do it. So a human being will always find an excuse for something to justify their own lack of ability to do it. They'll always find some justification. With encounter, it is just a matter of time before you will receive impartation. I am never afraid. I said to the person, I'm never afraid who leaves our church and who comes. Those who leave are not supposed to be with us. As simple as that. Those who are here are supposed to be with us. You have given sons. Listen, the Bible says, a child is born, but a son is given. So in the house of God, you have church members that decides just, I want to be a church member. But then you have those who decide, I want to be a child of God. I want to go further. And then they become children. They allow themselves to be born through you. And they catch your DNA. They begin to catch your DNA. But then you get sons. When children become sons, and they become now a gift to you, it's a given son. And now where you used to spoon feed them, they become a blessing to you. So I can walk into the house and things are done. The vision is being served. The vision is being fulfilled. I don't have to worry about this camera and that camera and the broadcast or this or about the global school of ministry or discipleship. We have so many departments, but I don't ask, listen here, we have meetings. I don't ask for this to be done or that. It is done because there are sons that are given. They become a gift to you. And when I say sons, I mean daughters as well. The kingdom of God is built on sonship and fatherhood. That is it. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And Paul says, I have begotten you in the Lord Jesus Christ. The way this thing goes forward is by fatherhood and sonship. So we want to welcome Pastor Stefan. He can preach now. You can preach. Can you preach now? Hey, can you preach now? No.
Give God a praise. As Prophet was saying just now, it is the presence of God. It's not just the omnipresence of God that makes a difference in your life. Because the presence of God, as we know from the Old Testament, God is omnipresent. But it's where the manifest presence of God is. It is at that place where the favor of God will be there. It is at that place, as the Israelites went through the desert for 40 years, that their shoes, their sandals, in the heat of the day, grew with them. So imagine you have a child that's 1 year old and you buy them shoes. 40 years later, they will still be wearing the same shoes and it will not be destroyed. Because where the presence of God is, there is provision, there is power. Nothing is impossible. But, there's a but. It is for those who diligently seek their God. It is those that says that I'm going to push through. I'm not going to just be a normal Christian. I'm going to pick up my cross and I'm going to choose to live holy. I'm going to look for Him. When other people go out to clubs, they choose to be with their friends. I'm going to say, but God, I want to see you as Moses has seen you, face to face. And that is what you'll get in this church, impartation. Amen.
Say impartation. So have your seats. Pastor Martin, Pastor Marie, all of them preach. How did they preach? I never taught them. How did Stefan do the church in Cape Town? We didn't teach them. It's caught. We were living in a 2-bedroom flat. I had one room, my wife and I. The other room was my office. And he lived in our garage. And then some of you still sit here and you're so miserable with life. You hate life so much. Jesus can do 1 second of a change. Once, what is it? Importation. Let that devil go if you feel so irritated tonight, just let that devil go. Nothing of it is God. Nothing of it is God. Why am I always, why am I always focusing on deliverance? Because Krugersdorp needs deliverance. This city needs deliverance. So it is on God's heart and his topic. But listen, let's get to the anointing. So he says, so because I was complaining to the Lord and I said, I was complaining to people like Apostle Neville, many other of my mentors, and I said to them, why do I speak to some of my associates or peers in ministry? And they tell me they never get attacked like I do. Some said, even like, Leon, there's something wrong with your life that you're getting attacked so much. And I would get discouraged eventually because you think something, you're doing something wrong. Until the Lord began to reveal this to me. Barabbas, anointing without power. Jesus, anointing with power. Yet they wanted to kill Jesus. If you're a pastor and you never get attacks, you must question yourself. Are you doing something for the kingdom? We have some of the biggest preachers in this nation that attacks us, man. And we don't care 2 cents because I'm living in their heads rent-free. At a time, we had one church. Somebody sent me an audio of a big church, I think about 2,000 or 3,000 people in Pretoria. I don't know if it's an Afrikaans church or something, I'm not exactly sure. The whole message was a warning against Leon de Pria. I won't mention the name of the church. But if the pastor doesn't apologize in about 2 years, 3 years, then I'm going to name the name of the church. A whole message against me. You must then know what you know, and you know why people visit our church, because they eventually ask the question, but why do people say, let me go check, and then they found Christ here, or they find the power of God here. So I gave you the 3 levels of the anointing. I want to get to 3 dimensions. Go with me to John chapter number, Go with me to John chapter number 4 verse 14. 3 dimensions before I minister to you. I need to get this through. So I gave you 2 reasons. I gave you 3 levels of the anointing. But I want to give you 3 dimensions that I believe is going to take place in this conference. And I'm setting the stage for Apostle Nikki that is coming so that when he comes, he can flow. His father was one of the men that opened up revival in this region. So that's why I really felt that he must come. And we've become good friends over the time. And he has a very powerful ministry, very strong ministry. And I want you to, you're going to get a lot out of them. You know how to honor gifts. John 4 verse 14. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up in everlasting life. Let me read it to you in, let me read it up to you or read it to you in a correct translation. But whoever drinks of the well of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain. The well in him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The first level, the first dimension of the anointing. Say with me, the well anointed, the well anointing. Say it again, say the well anointing. The well anointing is good, but it is the first dimension. It is, the well anointing is for the inside, not for the outside. It is for you. It is like the Holy Ghost inside of you. The well anointing is dangerous because it can become stale. Unless a well is stirred, the water can become stale. Unless the anointing is stirred in you when you are at the first dimension called the well anointing, unless it is stirred, it'll become stale and you'll be one of those Christians where life is just mundane. But it requires to be stirred through what? Prayer, fasting, the word, worship, pushing it through, and you're stirring the anointing the whole time. Are you guys with me? So the anointing on the inside, the well, is for inside things. It's the first dimension. For example, that anointing will tell you what car to buy and what not to buy, whether you should move somewhere or not, whether you should take a job offer or not. It is the anointing that guides you. It is the anointing that is for you personal, not for others. But say with me, stirred. It must be stirred. Once I begin to stir it, listen to this. The scripture says, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain. Say with me, a fountain. Once it is stirred, it becomes a spring and a fountain that begins to shoot up and it becomes healthy. That is where a Christian is stirring up the anointing inside of them. And they don't always have to be told what to do. They are just in the Spirit. The second dimension of the anointing is what we call, go into John 7 verse 38. John 7 verse 38. I put in the Amplified. John 7 verse 38. Listen to this. The second dimension of the anointing is what we call the river anointing. He who believes in me, who cleaves to and trusts and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being, say with me, his innermost being, shall flow continuously springs and rivers of living water. Which means that now the well inside of you is beginning to spring up and it is becoming a river that is flowing out. Are you guys with me? The well is for the inside. The river is for the outside. The well is for your decision making. The river is for power for the outside. The river begins to change your outside situations. It changes your business. It changes your finances. It gets people saved. I'm going to show you now. Are you guys with me? Let's go to Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel 47. Let me just see. Zeranu. Let me read from 47 verse 1. Let's see what happens. Ezekiel 47 verse 1. Then he brought me again to the door of the house of the Lord of the temple. And behold, waters, a river, issued out from under the threshold. Put in the New King James for me this one. New King James. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the front of the temple faced east. Say with me, the temple. Where's the temple now? It's inside of you. So there's a river that comes out. It's called the river of God. Next verse. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. Carry on. He brought me out by way out of the north gates and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. So the water was going out everywhere. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. And the waters came up to my ankle. Say with me, ankle deep. This is the first level in the river anointing. It is ankle deep. A lot of Christians are standing in the river ankle deep, meaning that the river of God can flow in this place. But because you are ankle deep, you can still stand and resist the waters. And the waters has to flow around you. It cannot take you and flow with you. You are still resistant. There's something in your heart that is hardened. There are many that are sitting that has pain from their childhood, pain from their marriage, pain from their family, or pain from a church or religion that has done them in, or stolen money, or just, you know, I mean, so many churches say, we're going to build a building and then people give money and then they disappear. Or the money is used for something else. And I think, you know, I always have a question. If churches are going for 20, 30 years and they don't have a building, what's happening? Why do they still, why it's all rent after 20, 30 years? I always have a question with that. I know ministry at the moment, they're going about 20 years. No building, nothing. They don't buy a building. And I'm thinking, where does all that money go? Because they say they don't even have money for screens, but yet I know they get a lot of money in. And I'm thinking the senior pastor is pocketing things like big time. Let me just be honest. I don't know how they get away with it. But many Christians are ankle deep and they resist the move of the Holy Ghost. You can lay hands on them and they are like this thing here. They just stand like, you can lay hands, they don't even move. Why? The river has to move around them. So I can lay hands on everybody around them. The moment I lay hands on them, become, they push, you know, white Afrikaans people, they do that. They push hard like that. You're not going to push me over. I don't push you over. I don't push over. And if I push you over, why do you allow somebody to push you over? So they stand. What are they? They're ankle deep. They're not yet in the river. And they don't understand why others are in the river. They call them emotional. Or they call them, they're just putting on a show. No. They're flowing with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is water that flows. It has a direction. It flows wherever it needs to go. Are you guys with me? So ankles, next verse. And next verse. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. So it came up to his knees. Say with me, knees. Some are ankle deep, others are knee deep. Even when you're knee deep, you can still stand. And the water has to go around you. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and it came up to my waist. Some are waist deep. They're a little bit, they can receive a little bit, but they're still resistant. It's like a rock. The water still has to flow around. Next verse. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim. A river that could not be crossed. I pray that the Holy Ghost will be like a river that is deep, that has depth, that cannot be crossed. That once you go into it, you don't dictate where the water goes. The water dictates where you go. The water flows where you go. Are you guys with me? It could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" He brought me and he returned me back to the bank of the river. Listen to this. When I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Let's go on to the next verse. There were, say with him, many trees. tree speaks of leadership. You cannot have the river of the Holy Ghost without leadership being trained up. So listen. This water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river goes, will live. Say with me, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. Go with me to verse 12. Listen to this. Along the bank of the river, on the side, and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, whether in season or out of season. They will be fruitful because their waters flows from the sanctuary. There's a river of God. That once that river begins to flow, there's healing in that river. There's life in that river. There's multiplication in that river. There's prosperity in that river. Are you guys with me? Say with me, life. Say healing. Say prosperity. There is salvation. Listen to me. Where the river is, there will be many souls. So this thing of a church only be 30 people, 40 people, and you know, God is not into numbers. No, just shut up and be quiet. God's will is for each person to be saved. His will is to see thousands and thousands. And God's will is mega churches. Because where there is life, there will be numbers. Where there is life, lives will be changed. Are you guys with me? Have you seen? Say with me, the river of God. So this is the second dimension. Where the river now begins to flow out of you, it affects everything around you. It is where you just have the ability to speak to somebody and they know that when after you spoke to them, that but wait, something is different about this person. Are you guys with me? The third dimension, I'll close with this so that we can minister to you. Say with me, the flood anointing. Go to Isaiah 8 verse 6. Isaiah 8 verse 6. Inasmuch as these people are refused, the waters of Shiloh that flow softly and rejoice in Rizon and Remaliah's son. Next verse. Now therefore, behold, the Lord brings up over them. Say with me, over them. The waters of the river, strong and mighty. The king of Assyria and all his glory. So we see a river turning into a flood. Next verse. He will go up over the channels and go over all his banks. Meaning the river is now no longer controlled by the banks of the river, but it is going over the banks. He will pass through Judah. He will overflow and pass over. He will reach up to the neck. Hold on. Are you guys with me? Say with me, Judah. The flood will pass through Judah. Where does the flood anointing come in? When people have the ability to praise God with everything inside of them, whether it is a dance or a shout, and the way you praised Him tonight, it causes the flood anointing to come into the place. The flood anointing is a dangerous anointing. It floods your enemies away. It is the third dimension of the anointing. This is where the enemy has no right to kill you. Listen to me. Have you seen? I shared this morning or Lord yesterday. I said how they came with us with guns and this and that and stand behind us. And in a church meeting, one church meeting, they stood behind me with a gun, with a 9mm. 7 people in the church with guns. where I was preaching. To kill me. They sent me a death threat the day before. Listen, you can be a Christian full of flesh. You'll stand there, you'll be dead. But if you're in the river and they say flood, you can stand like the glory is a bubble around you. And that person will be arrested. They will not be able to move. We've had knives pulled out on us. Running to the pulpit like this. Knives like this. Five people at once. Once they touched it here, in the church where I was preaching, they freeze right there. I even go down and pray for them with a knife in their hand. They cannot move. They are arrested. The flood anointing. It is a dangerous anointing. It is there to protect you. Many in Krugersdorp try to come and take us out. They cannot get to me. They don't understand the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It is there for your protection. Touch not my anointed. And do my prophets no harm. And for all our critics that are so jealous of that verse, it just shows us you're not anointed and you're not a prophet. Because you're so jealous. Instead of using the verse for yourself, your little online ministry. Say with me, the flood I mentioned. Listen, notice that the Bible says, it says, where I just read now in Isaiah, it says, he will go up over. It doesn't say the river will go up over. The flood anointing is God coming in a full involvement. The flood anointing was when the police tried to get into our services. When was it? 2020. And the anointing was so strong in a conference we were having. And I'm on the floor, on my knees, and the Lord says to me, the police is here. And I'm thinking, okay. So I just carried on. And we just carried on praise and worshiping. Only to hear afterwards, our security just said, sorry, can't come in, we're having church. And the attitude was, oh, okay, sorry. And they left. It's a flood. There's something that pushed them. Make sure you receive this dimension of the anointing. It is for a Christian that is soaked in prayer, soaked in worship, soaked in the words. They are committed in the church. The anointing, let me tell you, may God take everything from me except His Holy Spirit. I couldn't care about material things. I enjoy it, but I couldn't care about it because I had the Holy Ghost before I had any material thing, and I had the Holy Ghost after I had material things. But it is the Holy Spirit that gives you peace when you put your head to the pillow, and it gives you contentment. It gives you fulfillment. Do you know how many people are empty, even in this building tonight? They go to bed empty. Their lives are empty. There's a void inside of them. They know they have a need. Some of them are cursed and they are unable to even see it. They're under a spell. And that's why the Lord said to me that witchcraft, there are many that I have to break the spell of witchcraft. Do you know how many times we've had people that had to come to, that came to our church, have your seats, that came to our church from cults? I mean, you guys have seen it. I've demonstrated it. Not long ago, where it would look like the person is under a spell because of false prophecy or somebody that's not a prophet. Now, any believer can prophesy, okay, under the spirit of prophecy within certain boundaries of the scripture, as long as the scripture. But once you are not a prophet and you begin to prophesy over somebody and you say, the Lord says that you are called into ministry, and you must resign your job and do this and do that and do that, person becomes bewitched now. A spell is put on them. They lose everything in life. We have seen this over. We have had how many people coming to our church from false prophetesses and prophets out there. And they come and they're in an anointing service by us. And I'll get to them and I want to lay hands. And the Lord says to me, divination. They've been falsely prophesied. And then I begin to ask them. And I'll even tell them the name of the person who prophesied over them. Many. Until the one tried to come and visit us and couldn't stand in your presence. Yet they are called a prophet or a prophetess. One person who was an associate pastor of a very big church, and his wife came to us. And we're in a service in a conference and we're worshiping in Centurion. And the next thing I hear this devil screaming. And the person is like a snake on the floor. And I'm like, but you are the associate pastor of a mega church. And your wife is like a snake on the floor, slithering. The man is so embarrassed. The glory exposes your spiritual condition. The manifest presence of God exposes your spiritual condition. You will never imagine. They've been in that seeker sensitive church for their whole lives, and never has that devil been exposed. So it tells you, now you ask the question, is Jesus in that church? And I get I get persecuted for everything I say here, because I have so many preachers that are watching, some that think they own me. And when they tell me this and that, and something we talk about them, and I'm like, I'm not even talking about you. I can tell you who I talk about, but it's like something is telling them, it's like they feel guilty or something. I don't know what it is, but let's just be honest. If a devil can hide that long, is Jesus really there? Where Jesus was walking, devils were being cast out. The sick was healed. He said to John the Baptist, these are my credentials. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the poor as the gospel preached to them. This is how you will know I am the one. So people become bewitched when they receive, and we would see them and they come in and it's like there's a glaze over their eyes. I promise you, like a glaze. It's like you talk to them, but they zoned out. I demonstrated it for you, for those who can remember. And then you have to break through that. And the only thing that can heal that is the true word. When they sit under the word, the true word. Are you guys with me? Go with me to for the sake of time, go to Isaiah 59 verse 19. What's the time? Isaiah 59 verse 19. I need to minister to some prophets over some. We in these nights we don't lay hands on everyone. We lay hands Wednesday night on everyone. But in every service we prophesy, we lay hands on certain things. I need to pray for witchcraft, but we try not to make it too late. Okay. New King James, listen to this. Is this it? Let's go to the next verse. Let's go one verse back. Verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, say with him, like a flood. Now, in the actual Hebrew construct, it should say when the enemy comes in, comma. So it's a wrong writing there. When the enemy comes in, comma. then you remove the comma that is after the flood. And it should read like this: when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Meaning that God will come in like a flood against the enemy that is coming against your life. Say with me, like a flood. Say it again. Say, like a flood. It is the flood anointing. It is the flood dimension. It removes your enemies. It makes way before you. This is a dangerous anointing. This is the anointing that we call to take in nations. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Listen. Say with me, nations. Once this anointing comes upon your life, you touch nations.